Blog Talk Radio.
As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. Today, we're going to do part two of our show on glutens. So we have the utmost pleasure of having Mr. Tony Lewis. He is actually the owner and, of course, chief instructor at Designer Fitness and Wellness Center in the Virginia area, Northern Virginia area. He's in Gainesville. And he's going to, again, give us a little bit more information on glutens and how we need to remove glutens from our diet, and give us a little bit more in-depth information on how you can, again, get more energy, become more lively, and also keep yourself living a healthier and longer life by removing glutens from your overall diet. Again, ladies and gentlemen, all of Lewis's information is also on the show site. Please feel free to contact him. And if anybody wants to call in, we, of course, welcome that interaction with anybody that wants to call into the show. So with that said, I don't want to hold you back from getting any of this outstanding information. We're going to go ahead and move forward. So with no further ado, Mr. Lewis, are you ready?
Hey, man, what's up? How you doing?
Oh, I'm always all right. And yourself, my brother?
Man, I'm doing great. This is it's a blessing, man, to be able to come on to your show and talk to you and your listeners, man. I'm blessed. I'm really happy to be here.
Outstanding. Well, the last week you gave us a lot of information on glutens and how we needed to remove them from our diet. So, of course, a lot of the listeners are looking forward to hearing even more information on how they can help to better their lives through diet. And, of course, hopefully we'll get some of them to move forward and maybe come and start doing some exercise, preferably at Designer Fitness.
Yeah, I know that's right. Yeah, we appreciate it, man. You know, it's a subject that a lot of people are really not even familiar with. I know, you know, when I first started this journey about 21 years ago, I've been doing this business, and if somebody would have came to me, you know, 20 years ago and said gluten, matter of fact, we haven't really seen a lot of gluten-free products in the grocery store up until about the last 5 years, maybe. Now, obviously, we've known about it for quite a while, but it's something a lot of people are not aware of. They're not sure if they have the intolerance or if it's an allergic reaction. And sometimes the reaction could be very mild, so people just don't know that they have this reaction to it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's kind of funny. Today I was actually by a restaurant, and I saw one of the restaurants that you didn't want to mention, you know, one of those places with the sandwiches, and I was thinking to myself, I can't have that.
Right.
But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's funny because we're located right next door to one, and I see the same people going in and out almost every day or every other day, and really they really are eating a little bit healthier than going to some of the other fast food chains, but still the bread, the processed meats, the vegetables are not organic. And, you know, you are what you eat. You know, if you want to feel good, you got to put good food into your system. And for the most part, you know, as Americans, and we're one of those countries where we're overweight and we're obese, and we really don't know what to do because there's so many different opinions out there. So my job sometimes becomes a little bit difficult because, you know, I may give you something, and then you turn on the TV, and this other guy may say the complete opposite of what I just told you. So there is no one-size-fit everyone's diet out there. As a matter of fact, we try not to use that dirty little word, diet, because it should be eating whole foods. And when you can eat whole foods, life becomes a little bit easier.
Totally understand. Well, that's, again, why we're gifted and blessed to have someone like you to actually come on to the show and share real information and needed information with everyone that's willing to listen. And we also hope that those that listen also share the show with others, because I know that there's millions of people just in your area alone that could truly benefit from your mentorship and your, you know, your breadth of knowledge.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I just hope your listeners will call and feel free to ask me any question, because, you know, there's no such thing as a dumb question or a stupid question. It's just, you know, ask the question. And I guarantee you, if I can't give you an answer, I'll research it. And I have a lot of colleagues out here that can help out with some of the questions that your listeners may have. But for the most part, I've been doing this for a while, like I said, and I have some pretty good ideas about what I'm talking about.
I understand. You know, that's also interesting, because just yesterday I actually met with a national speaker, a young lady by the name of Ms. Cohen, and she's, again, pretty much all of the really famous, you know, the guys that are getting $100,000 to $35,000 to do a speech, she's on that level. And she actually said the same exact thing that you said. She said that anybody that tells her that they know it all, she runs from them. She said, but anybody that tells her I don't know it all, but I have some answers, and anything I don't know, I will research or find somebody that can answer your question, she said that's the type of person that she wants to listen to. So that's definitely spot on.
Right. I mean, I have this saying, if I'm the smartest person in my circle, that means I need to be in another circle. Because information changes all the time. I often get clients who say, well, you know, I've been training with you for 4 years, and you told me when I first started I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that. But now you tell me I can. Well, research, I get smarter. I get more certifications. I study more. I read more. I have a better understanding now about some of the things that I didn't understand quite as well when I first started this business. When I first started this business 21 years ago, I used to think that my clients weren't losing weight. They weren't getting in better shape because they had to go out and they were partying, or they were doing something behind, you know, outside of when we trained. But then I had to take a look at myself. Was I really giving them the information that was correct? Because some of the things that I learned 20 years ago, it was just, hey, I took a test at a weekend community college, and I passed it. And I thought I knew what I was doing. And I worked out, I played football, I was in the gym, I had a general idea how to help, you know, help people lose weight and with diet and exercise, but now I'm smarter. So I try to learn. There's a lot of guys out there, man, that I learn from, I take stuff from, I research it, I call them up, and I say, hey, where did you get this from? Because, you know, scholarly people always read, and we always listen, and we always, you know, we're reading other scholarly people information, and we're just getting tons of good stuff out there now that we didn't have years ago.
Yes, sir. Well, there's a saying that readers are leaders, and those that want to change the world are those that are constantly changing themselves. And it, again, sounds like you're one of those people.
Hey, pick up a book, man. Read something. And but just because, again, you know, Zarian, if it's, there's some people out there that's writing stuff just to be writing stuff to make a book, too. So, you know, you got to be careful what you read, because, you know, although there's a lot of diet books out there. There's probably hundreds of thousands of diet books. Some say eat this. The next one will say eat that. There's a 21-day diet. There's a 100-day diet. There's a 60-day diet. There's a one-hour diet. So you got to be careful who you're reading as well.
True, and a lot of people don't understand by taking some of these diets, they're putting themselves, they may be losing weight, but it's temporary, and they're also putting themselves at risk.
Right. I mean, you know, I often advise my workout clients and my nutrition clients as well, because some, you know, I do get some people who are, they choose just to talk to me about nutrition. They don't want me to help them with exercise, and I understand that and I respect that. But I always tell my clients, if you're going to do one of those those TV butt-kicker workouts that you may see on the infomercial. And by the way, they only put those infomercials on late at night because they know that people who are struggling with sleep disorders or maybe dealing with some type of depression issues or whatever, they're up late at night. So the best time to advertise is when those people are actually up. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case because you certainly can catch them on Saturday morning on your local stations as well. But some of those workouts are too much for the average person, and you start having adrenal fatigue. And, yeah, you're after 2 months or 60 days of doing it, you've lost some weight, you lost some body fat, you look pretty good, but don't you dare stop. Don't dare stop because then you'll see the tide come in. And you're wondering why you doubled back in weight. So you really didn't do anything but lose a lot of water weight. You may have gained a little bit of muscle, in which everyone should want to gain a little bit of muscle. Because here's the thing, muscle does not turn into fat, and fat does not turn into muscle. So for all your female listeners who are listening, who call me up or call somebody up and say, well, I don't want to be bulky. And what happens when you get older? All of that muscle just turns into fat. Impossible. It cannot do it. It's like turning wood into steel. It cannot do. You can't do that. So educating people is my whole thing. I want people to be educated. And that's how we got on this thing about gluten, because it also affects people differently. When we first tested for gluten years and years ago, we test in the gut. It was a gut thing. We just thought it was something that that was just caused you to bloat or be gassy or whatever. But now we're also looking at a neurological issues as well. It's also a brain thing. So, you know, we gotta dig a little deeper and really get behind the whole the bottom line of this thing.
Wow. Again, that's a lot of information. Before we get the fitness information has been great, but what are different things that we can find gluten in?
Well, obviously, as you know, we talked about last week, gluten is a compound protein that's found in wheat. It's from wheat. It's in grains. It's in rice and oats. It's in barley. Bread, gluten is the compound that actually holds the bread together. It makes the bread become chewy. So whenever you buy gluten-free bread in the store, and by the way, if any of your listeners want to know, can I ever eat bread? Yes, you can, because there are some gluten-free breads out there that I recommend that really, that's not far off from bread. But gluten-free bread is mainly kept inside the refrigerator. It's always going to be either frozen or it's going to be, not at room temperature, because it's just going to fall apart. So you got to be careful with oats, oatmeal especially. You can get. I always tell people to use steel cut oatmeal. There's been some question whether or not there's some gluten in that, but rye bread, it makes no difference. You know, if it has any wheat component in it, it's going to have some gluten.
Wow. So you had also talked about, do they actually put gluten in any type of meats? Do they feed it to any animals or anything like that?
Well, here's your thing. I don't know why you want to open this can of worms with me. You know how I feel about meat. But cows are not supposed to eat grains and wheat and all that other stuff. Cows are only supposed to eat grass. Now there are some farmers and that are going to have to fatten their cows up for slaughter, and maybe they want them to weigh more, so they'll feed them grains up towards, they'll feed them what we call the 80-20 rule. They'll feed them grass up until they're a certain weight, and then they'll finish out with grains, which there's some question, is it 100% grass-fed beef, or did the cow eat grains? My opinion, I want my cows only to eat grass. But to answer your question, yes, there are some meats out there that will contain gluten. Very few. There's some, again, some of your listeners give me a call, there are some lunch meats especially that may contain some gluten in it.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that either. But, again, continue to dazzle us with this information on gluten, because it's real helpful. Like I said, I didn't go into that restaurant the other day just because of last Tuesday's show.
Well, I mean, it's the gluten issue, but also, again, the processed meat. I mean, is it nitrates, triglycerides? All of those things are actually causing a lot of issues for people. And once we understand that the chemical makeup of what we put in our bodies, the food that we actually put in our bodies, is going to determine, and a lot of times, it's going to determine how we feel, how we respond, how we react, blood pressure, sleep disorders, allergies, especially allergies. Any of your listeners that are dealing with migraine headaches, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. You got to really consider taking gluten out of your diet. That will help a lot. Now, it may not be just gluten. It could be some type of soy. It could be dairy as well. So you got to really get down to the bottom line to figure out what is the proper thing for you, because you don't want to take all three out at one time, because then you don't know which one you may be allergic to or have the reaction to or be sensitive to. So I have our clients go on a 21-day split where we figure out exactly what it is, then we introduce some things small back into it and see how your body actually feels.
Okay, so you actually give them instruction on what you think is going to be the best thing for them to use based on the other information that they fill out with you, correct?
Right, and in the whole process, you normally when, and like I said, I have clients in California, New York, I have clients all across the country that I've never literally shook hands with, but we talk every week or every other week or we Skype. And we just email them the forms, and they fill out the forms, and then the first initial consultation usually lasts. And the consultation is free. We don't charge just to talk and just to find out if we can help somebody, because, you know, some people may not want to work with us. Some people may say, well, hey, you know, I'm not going to give up certain things, and that may be a person that we don't want to work with. Because I can't help that person if they are not willing to give up some things. Now, let me do say this, and this is important for me to say, because I understand that we are still human, and I understand that we can't just stop eating things all at once. It's like trying to take somebody off of cigarettes and say, okay, I know you're a chain smoker, you've been smoking for 25, 30 years, stop right now. That's just going to drive you crazy and drive me crazy and everybody else crazy. So we have to take small steps in order to get to where we're trying to get to. And the big part for me, and I know I'm a talker, so I have to listen. I have to listen to what you're giving me so I can design a program around what I think may help you. And sometimes the first time, it may not be the right answer. So I have to go back and listen some more and try some more things. But the bottom line is, in a six-month time frame, my goal is to get you to where you want to be. And some people may lose weight or gain weight.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, because one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that if you go to a regular doctor, you know, they prescribe the same thing for everybody. But in real life, each of us is an individual. So that would mean each of us, even though we're all the same, our body chemistries are going to be a little different. Our habits, our eating are going to be a little different. So I could understand why it would take that kind of a process.
Right. And again, let's stop giving a pill to put a Band-Aid on the problem. Let's actually find out what the problem is and throw the pill away. Now, I say that all the time, but I am also aware of the fact that some people can't come off of medication. I would like to think everyone would try to, and I would like to think that some people will, but I'm not going to tell you to go to your doctor and say, hey, I listened to this guy on the radio, and he said I should come off of my high blood pressure medication. No, I'm not saying that. But my goal is to try to eventually to get you to limit it as much as possible or completely come off of it. Yeah, and then again, you have, you know, that's, again, what cholesterol is one of those things that I like to, I tell clients all the time, we work and we'll come off of cholesterol medication. We'll do the best we can to try to eliminate or come off of all of the cholesterol medication, because there is a difference between LDL and HDL, good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. So, you know, years ago we used to think that, you know, we just eat egg whites and our cholesterol will go down. Well, little did we know that the cholesterol in eggs is not the same cholesterol as the cholesterol that we were getting diagnosed with having bad or high cholesterol. So you may remember 10 years ago, people said, oh, you don't eat eggs, you get high cholesterol. Now you're seeing people eat eggs, eat the whole egg. But there's a difference between just a store-bought egg and a range-free, cage-free egg. There's a big difference. Hello?